I thought that this morning I would start a business. Seeing that Tom sold his last year, maybe I'll start a new one. And I'm going to start a radio shop. So I just need a minute to set it all up. Oops, nearly knocked the flowers. Would somebody just help me lift the table down to the floor? Be careful, Lenny, it's not really that heavy. Thank you. I'll come a bit closer. So, this side, Tony, would you come and hold this for me? Would you just hold that there? Just there, and I'll just tape it on. Thank you. Would you hold the other one for me as well? And I've got a radio repairs as well. So if you could just hold that over here, I'll tape that on as well. Thank you. So what do we need now then? Radios, of course. Okay. Let's see where these belong. Okay. Volume, turn on. Well, that one's not working, is it? Okay, let me see. Repairs. So this one belongs here, doesn't it? Let's see about this one. Well, that's important for us to hear about footy at church, isn't it? Well, we know that that one works, don't we? So, whoops. So this one can go here. But every shop needs some, what?
Customers.
Some customers, that's right. Shopkeepers. Shopkeepers. So if you were invited to work in my radio shop, would you like to sell radios or repair radios?
I'll sell because I don't have
to. So you'll sell, and you do a good job, Suzanne, because you need to be, you know, a little bit outgoing as a salesperson, don't you? And encourage people to sell, to buy a beautiful radio like this that you can carry anywhere you like. And it works. Anybody else like to work in my radio shop? Selling? That's not very helpful, Tom. I know. That is right. Linda said that in order to be able to work in the repair radio spot, you need some expertise on how to repair radios, don't you? It's a little bit far away, Lynn, a little bit far away. Yes, that's sometimes what happens, isn't it? If you take something to the repair shop, it seems to take a long time. Yes, we only need a few more. Oh, we're waiting for the part to come. Isn't that what you usually hear? We're waiting for the part. Okay, now, if I was to start up a different kind of business, I'll just put this up here. We'll put them here so we don't forget them. What if I was to start a new kind of business? I might need Tony again if he would help out, or Sally, doesn't matter. What if I was to start a people shop, a people business? Tony, could you just hold that for me? Thank you. Oops. Okay, so on this, hold on, I don't think I did that very well. I should have done it on a different spot, shouldn't I? Sorry, Tony. Thank you. We'll do the other side as well. Now, that shop, whoops, it's got perfect people. And on this side, people who need help. Tony, would you just hold that, mate? Just there, thank you. I'll do it differently this time. Thank you. I think that'll stay there. Okay, I want you to think about which side you would go on. Okay, you're coming into my shop and on this side are the perfect people. So hands up those who would be on the perfect person side. Mary Poppins. No, you wouldn't have to wait, would you, Pam? So in our congregation this morning, who would like to come if they were the perfect people? No? What about who would like to come and sit on the first row if you were people who need help? Quite a few people. So this brings us to our readings this morning, and in the gospel reading, Jesus calls Matthew. Who can remember what Matthew does? He's a tax collector. And in Jesus' day, Matthew would have been working and the people totally dislike them. And we can understand that because we don't like paying taxes either, do we? So Matthew was a tax collector, and sometimes tax collectors would not only just collect the tax that they were asked to collect, but they would add some money onto it and rip people off. I'm not saying that that's what Matthew did, but Jesus saw Matthew and says to Matthew, follow me. And did Matthew do that? He was in a booth, like, you know, a booth that would have people maybe coming past, having to pay their, a shop, yes. And he left all of that. He doesn't ask any questions. He follows Jesus. And Jesus was obviously going to lunch. And he must have invited Matthew to come. And Matthew went to a lunch with all the other despised people in the community. I wonder how Matthew felt about that. And we know that the Pharisees said to the disciples, look at this guy. You know, not only does he break the law, he actually has lunch with sinners. And it's really interesting because Jesus overhears this and he says, can anybody remember what Jesus says to the Pharisees? That's right. Jesus says to everybody, yes, that the only the sick people need a physician. But he says to the Pharisees, he says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then he says to them, to these learned people, don't forget that the Pharisees are learned people, he says to them, go back and learn about mercy. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. So why would Jesus tell the disciples something like that? That he desires mercy and not sacrifice. Anybody know why he would say something like that to the Pharisees? It is. The Pharisees were very learned people, we know that. And they were constantly picking on Jesus about what he was doing. See, Jesus was bringing about a new thing. Jesus was bringing about change. And we know how hard it is for us to cope with change. And he knew that the Pharisees know that they are the very people that should have been showing mercy to people, especially the outsiders. But if the Pharisees did that because they were so keen on following the law that they forgot to be there and to show mercy. And they certainly wouldn't show mercy to the outsider because that would make some of them unclean because they thought they were perfect. And Jesus says also that the righteous, he mentions the word righteousness. For I have come to call not the righteous but sinners. Now it's interesting because the next thing that happens in the gospel story is that a learned person from the synagogue, right, a leader in the synagogue, probably a righteous person, comes to Jesus and says, my daughter has died and would you come? So it shows that this learned person in the synagogue had enough faith in Jesus to know that if he only came and put his hand on her, then she would be healed. So what would it, does it mean to be talking about sinners and righteous? And then the woman who's been bleeding all these years has so much faith in Jesus that she knew that if she only touched the hem of his garment, just the hem, not even him, just the hem of his garment, she would be made well. And in that story, Jesus doesn't say, who touched me? He actually says, daughter, your faith has made you well. So what's this business about sinners and the righteous? Because it's almost as though Jesus sort of defeats what he said before. My understanding, and please feel free to disagree, my understanding of sinners and righteousness and rightness comes from the biblical understanding of sin. And sin is a broken relationship with God. A broken relationship with God. To be righteous is to be in a right relationship with God. So Jesus came for the people who don't know him. He came for everyone. He loves everyone. So there's sinners and righteous that are almost connected to each other. But the thing that happens in this story the most is that it tells us once again about God, the Holy Spirit, and the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this whole story is about, hey, that we're all in the same boat. And sometimes the perfect people, the righteous ones, in the biblical aspect of this story, probably think they don't need anything because they're perfect, aren't they? But the other side acknowledges that they need help. How hard is it sometimes for us to reach out and ask for help? It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? So that's what's happening in this story as well. Look what happened to the people that asked Jesus to help them. They were made well. And so this story is about two things running here, that Jesus showed everyone that he was there for the outcast. Who might the outcast be in our community? The homeless? People that don't know about Jesus? Maybe the drug addicts? I often wonder if Jesus was here today, who would he be seen to have lunch with? The politicians? Yes? The politicians? Absolutely. And I think that shows us in the reading, the righteous and the sinners. I think that we would find, I want to tell you the story about one of our ministers. This is a true story. He got called into the office with the chair of the church council. And they sat him down and they said to him, you are spending too much time talking to the homeless and the drug addicts down the street. Really? He was spending too much time outside of the church building, right in the heart of the city, talking to the drug addicts and the homeless. And do you know what he did? He quit. He quit. So when Jesus says to the tax collector, follow me, and we're all here as followers, then sometimes we have to ask the question, and that's what that piece of music hopefully was going to do, was to help us to think about what is it that God is wanting us to do as Christians? What might he be asking of us? You know, in the Romans reading, Paul alludes to Abraham. Who knows anything about Abraham? Anybody know anything about Abraham? He's old. He's old. Somebody told me the other day I was a grey-haired old woman. I was nearly going to say, well, guess, do you know Abraham? Look what happened to him. He was at least 75 years old when God asked him to rip up everything and go to another place, to take all his family, his cattle and everything and go to another place. There are people here that weren't born in this country. It takes a lot to do that. And he believed in the promises that God made for him. I will make a great nation. And Abraham's important because Paul also shows us that it was faith that justified Abraham and us. And in that these readings, it's all of us thinking about what does it mean for us to have a relationship with God. That's important, isn't it? What does it mean? You know, my principal at college, Ian Williams, was the most wonderful fellow, and him and I met weekly. And he said to me one day, when you're going out into ministry, you've got to decide what is it that you would go to the back wall for. What is it that you would go to the back wall for? And I wonder how many of us would say it is faith. Our belief that God is real, that he revealed God's self in a person called Jesus Christ, who died for us because he loved us so much, and rose again in order to show us in these stories today that he is the person who's capable of resurrection and new beginnings and new life. Let us pray for a moment. Thank you, loving God. Thank you for the good news of the gospel that shows us that justification comes through faith, and that faith isn't just belief. It is actually in knowing that you are God, that you have revealed yourself to us in Jesus Christ and given us the ever-present and presence of yourself through the Holy Spirit which lives in us. Thank you. Enable us to discern what it means to be part of the church. What does it mean about the future? How can we be church in a different way? How might we be able to share the gospel with those who don't know? Loving God, open our ears so that we might hear you speaking to us, both in our hearing and in our hearts. This we ask in your name. Amen.